Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
John Daly hanging out with us today. Wanted to come by and see Coach Silverfield, who just walked up. And we just had a phone call with John Gruden. Go ahead and put the headset on, Coach. We just had a phone call with John Gruden that I wish to goodness we had a recording of. Oh, my gosh. See, that we had to bleep out about 15 words. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Gruden said to tell you hello and best of luck to you.
Best of luck to you.
Yeah, he's a good one. He's a guy that, you know, I've known through the years. I coached against him a long time ago. Obviously, he was a head coach and had a lot of success, but he's been great to us over the years.
Yeah, he's over there at the American Conference doing something today, and he's down here. He lives down there, so does John, and he just said, yeah, problem is Cal takes all the blanket money, is what he said. no comment.
I love Coach Cal. I'm keeping quiet on that one.
We'll visit with Coach Silverfield here for a few minutes. I see Quincy Rhodes looking good, man. Look like $1 million in that suit. John wanted to see you. You guys hadn't had a chance to meet face-to-face, right?
No, and give John credit. He's been absolutely fantastic, you know, just from reaching out, just checking in, saying, hey, whatever I can do, I support you. And I, to me, that means so much because he's a legend. I mean, and a legend not only for Razorbacks in the state of Arkansas, but throughout the entire world. And so for me, like, I don't get giddy much, but, I've met some people over the years, like, this is exciting for me. Like,
right.
I canceled the press conference. Me and John are just going to go hang out the rest of the day.
Coach, he is a international superstar. I mean, and he's bigger now than he was when he was winning majors.
I'm a diehard Hog, man. always will be.
He loves it. And you know what? He's consistent. We have him on every week, and he always makes his call on time. He's a professional, and he knows he's getting his check, too. he's getting paid.
I ain't in this for that.
Now, Coach, I don't think I've heard anybody mention, you know, this is your neck of the woods. You were right down the street at Jacksonville Bowls back in the day, right?
Yep.
Born and raised in the area?
Born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, had the opportunity one time coach at Jacksonville University, now defunct football program.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that, so don't blame me.
Yeah.
I was at UCF for a couple years, and then got, you know, small family down here in Tampa as well. But, listen, it's good to be back. Obviously, home is now Fayetteville, and that's where we plan to be for a long, long time. It was great, and especially when you told me JD would be joining us, absolutely fired up.
Yeah, you've answered every question. I mean, does it feel like you're just ready to get to the game, man? You've been you've had the 5,000 interviews, and you got some today you got to do. But I bet you're ready to quit with the talking and get with the plan.
I think that's part of it. I think anytime you take over a program. Right, the first 8 months have been nothing but hectic, but it's been great. A lot of excitement, enjoyed it, got to meet a lot of people, you know, hit the ground running with fundraising, hit the ground running with trying to put together staff, roster, all the things that come apart, trying to meet as many people across the state as I can within our region, and those are all things I enjoy. But, man, nothing is better than let me put my cell phone up. Let me take off this tie. Let me go put on my shorts and my T-shirt, whistle around my neck, and somebody leave me alone for 2.5 hours so I can go coach.
Know,
and that's what, you know, that's what got into this thing 28 years ago to do was truly coach, to pour into these guys. And I'm one of those psychos I love. Yeah, I wish training camp still had 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that yesterday. You were talking about how short of a camp you have. Now, back when I played, when John and I were in school together, you had 2 days. Matter of fact, Coach Holtz had 3 days one time. And now you don't have that luxury anymore. You have very few days. You don't have the practice days. And so you got to get it all in when you can. And these players got to learn away from standard practice too, right?
No question. I always throw – I can't – they roll their eyes when I say, back in my day, uphill twice in the snow, practiced 5 times a day and wore leather helmets. They roll their eyes at you. And now they think one practice back-to-back days is – what are we doing here?
I know.
Sensitive to that, but it's been good. But just how do you teach? Those are the other things, right? When you have limited time, how do we engage them better in meetings? And this day and age, right, some guys are auditory learners. Some guys, you got to do more walkthroughs. Some guys learn better off an iPad. Some guys got to go draw up on the board. And how do we maximize that time? I think so much of it is this summer with OTAs, with meetings. How can we get better and better so we're not sitting there and saying, oh, we had a short training camp. We're not ready for the season. No excuses, no explanations. We'll get it done.
But now you got to say, hey, earn your money, kid.
Well, that too. Is that a different dynamic?
Get together and let's go. Before that, you're worried about them getting to class.
Right.
All this other stuff, which you still have to do. But now you got to get that level. It's like, hey, I'm paying you.
Do you use that as something like a – are you guys got to the point where if you're not here by this point, you get a fine? Or have you gotten to that level yet?
You know, the – the positive is with this current roster is we haven't had
to worry about it.
Now, if that's becoming, then I think you have an issue within your culture. But you're exactly right. It is different, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're coaching guys who are making no money, and you got in trouble for giving them a piece of bread out of your refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the NCAA come down crack on you.
Yeah.
Did you give them a half a piece of bread last year?
Yeah.
Did while you're
but
sanctioned.
While they were paying them $1 million to play.
That's right. I did want to mention, too, back in the studio, Coach, my co-host Roger Scott is there, and also Joe Klein. Have you had a mention, Joe? Joe was an All-American center for the Razorbacks, played in the NBA for about 15 years, won a world championship with Michael Jordan with the Bulls. Huh. But Joe, you still there? Just want to check in.
Yeah, I'm here. Absolutely.
I don't know if you've had a chance to meet Joe or not.
I have not.
He's a great guy, good buddies with Coach Cal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was on one of Cal's team for what, Joe, about 5 minutes?
Yeah, I was with Cal with the New Jersey Nets, man, in 97, 98.
Yes. Oh, wow.
So one of the reasons I bring that up, too, I've noticed that you've had a chance to interact with some former players, Felix Jones and others, Peyton Hillis, and you embrace that, which is always a good idea for a guy who's, you know, sort of an outsider, hadn't been here, embrace the guys like Daly and me and you've really done a good job of that.
Well, I think that's important. When I got here, and again, not to talk about the past, but one of the things people said was former Razorback players didn't feel engaged, you know, and I think that's my job. And people say, well, it's not the heck of a job. I disagree. I think my job is to engage with former Razorback players, because I want you guys to always feel part of this. I have so much respect for the history of the entire Razorback athletic program, from every sport, from golf to basketball to football to everything that's occurred prior to me getting here. But the players that played, you know, football at Arkansas, I want them to know that we respect them, we love them, and they're still part of our program. We stand on the shoulders of those guys, you know. And I mentioned that, David, when I first got here, one of my first interviews with you, I was just, before we even started talking about the job, I wanted to just say thank you for what you did for our program, and you're always welcome. And we hired a guy named Bray Cook,
who's a
former player that's a director of alumni relations, which they hadn't had here within our football program. I'm paying him directly just so he can bring back Razorbacks. Guys from Steve Atwater to Darren McFadden to guys that recently played. I think it's so important to involve those greats.
Thanks, Coach, for saying that. I appreciate that.
Well,
I think
once you're a hog, you're always a hog.
Yeah.
And you're right. And thank you, because – I'd love to see Atwater again come to a game or something, to see these guys again.
Well, it's nice when you have a coach that says, man, we want you here.
And,
you know, I tell you who was one of the best ever, that was Barry Switzer back in the day. He was Oklahoma, man. He wanted every ex-player to come and be a part of it. So I commend you for that. Let's talk about the three players that you brought. You brought Quincy Rose Jr., you brought Sutton Smith, and Caden Kittler. Interesting mix. You had Caden Kittler, who was at Central Florida the year before. He starts all the games at center. You got Seth Smith, never played it down until, you know, he's played for you, but not Arkansas. And you got Quincy Rhodes, who's more like the traditional guy that we don't see anymore. He's been here all his career.
Yeah, let's start with Quincy Rhodes Jr. He's a guy, I mean, and what's unique on all three of those guys, if I've had a long-term relationship with him. Maybe the national media doesn't care, but it's important to me. So Quincy Rhodes, right, obviously North Little Rock kid, born and bred, had opportunities. People threw a ton of money at him. This season said, hey, you need to transfer. And, you know, the kid said, you know what, once I got the job, and that kid announced that he was staying during my press conference.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So a guy that's been loyal, a guy that's been a part, obviously a big-time player as well. And so, you know, with that long-term relationship, I was his first offer out of high school. And so we've kind of known each other for a long time, which is really unique. And then we talk about Sutton Smith, same deal. Sutton committed to us as a junior in high school. Throughout his career at Memphis, people, SEC schools reached out to him, hey, you need a transfer. He said, I'm not doing that. I trust the system. I believe it. Arkansas fans, unfortunately, know him for the long run versus them in the game. So they're quite pleased to see us bring him over to this side of the river and be a part of what we're doing here. Tremendous young man that I think the SEC is going to be, wow, this kid's pretty damn special. And then Caden Kittler. Caden actually took an official visit to us at Memphis at the high school. So I've known Caitlin for 6 years, and a center, a guy that's a leader of the offensive line, I thought was important to have. So a unique mix. People said, well, why not a quarterback? We're still working on that battle, but really love those three. They're leaders. I've got great confidence in what they're going to do on and off the field.
Yeah, Caden was our weekly call, Coach. Since NIL started, we contract with players and pay them, and he was our call last year every week. Really sharp guy, impressive. Let's talk about the schedule real quick. You know, today you got Lane Kiffin here with you today. You got Steve Sarkisian, you got Texas, LSU. You know, starting the season, you got Utah, Georgia. I mean, it is, you know, welcome to the SEC, Coach Silverfield. I mean, you know, how do you approach the, you know, for example, I know there's some people complaining about the late start time of Utah, early start time of Georgia. Is, you know, are you planning for those kind of things now, knowing, hey, really got to be smart on how we manage our time for those early weeks?
Absolutely. And listen, I know what we're getting into in the SEC, and then obviously playing at Utah, one of the toughest places to play out there in Salt Lake. That's great. That's we don't back down from anybody, right? I mean, we got a gigantic chip on our shoulder. We're going to come out swinging, I can promise you that. And so I want our players to have that same attitude. Put the ball down. Let's go play right now. You know, if they ask us to play at 6 a.m. or midnight, we're ready. But we are actually, throughout training camp, we're actually going to prepare for things like that. We have, you know, our first game is a 3:15 kickoff, so our first scrimmage is at 3:15. Try to get them out in the heat in the stadium.
Right.
Then we're actually having a 9:15 at night scrimmage in the stadium, get underneath the lights, because that's going to be the exact same time as when we play Utah. So get them out under the lights. Get them, you know, hey, this is what an all-day deal feels like. Put them through that prep, and then no different than we're going to have 11 a.m. Scrimmage as well, you know, to just prep for the Georgia game. So just in their brains, getting the guys prepared from a physical and mental standpoint for what it's going to look like early on.
We're at altitude. At altitude.
Oh, Utah.
It's great. I can smoke more cigarettes than I
have. And the ball goes a lot further.
The ball goes a lot further.
If you just joined the show, visiting Ryan Silverfield, also have John Daly here. Got a couple more minutes, Coach. We'll let you go. You know, for me, I've always felt like a team takes on the personality of their coach. You know, when I played for Coach Holtz, there were things that he did and expected, and sort of that's where we play. Coach Hatfield was the same way. Do you feel that way? And if so, what's going to be the personality of this team, you think?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it, right? You ultimately want the players to take on what you've been preaching, the culture that you're trying to push every single day. And I do want them to take on my approach to it. And I think this, more than anything, like when Razorback fans watch us take the field, they're going to see a team that plays with a lot of passion, a lot of damn energy, that's disciplined. It's a bunch of tough asses that go out there and play with relentless effort. And if we get to see that every single Saturday, you know, we're going to look up at the end of the fourth quarter, however long they ask us to play football, and we'll like the end result. We're going to certainly make steps in the right direction. You know, from a talent standpoint, that's our job to continue to assemble and get them to play at a higher level and to assemble rosters year after year that can compete at the highest level. But, man, I want when people watch this, well, those dudes are playing like their damn hair's on fire.
Yeah.
And I think if we can provide that for Razorback fans, we'll sit there and say, man, we got a chance every week.
Yeah, I remember watching, being at the Memphis game, watching that game and saying, wow. I remember telling Trey, I said, I want our defense to play like Memphis's defense.
From an
effort standpoint, even though you were down, you fought back. So, and I think it sounds like you've got a great response from the fans. You know, they're hungry. They've been through a tough time. I mean, and you want that. You want the high expectations, even though you got the toughest schedule in America. But you feel the fans really wanting to have some success with you.
I love it. And listen, throughout my career, this is my 28th year of coaching. And, you know, when you coach in the NFL, yeah, you want to win for the fans. You want to win for the franchise and, you know, the player. Here, there's such a sense. And listen, at all my previous spots, you want to win for the fans. But here, you sense it. Like, from the minute I stepped off the plane, it's, man, we got to win for the fans.
Right.
Screw running for Ryan Surf. Yeah, you win for the players. But, man, this is a place the fans are so passionate. They're so hungry for a winner. I love the fact that there's high expectations. I want that. I mean, who shouldn't? We have the highest expectations for ourselves within our own program.
Right.
But I love the fact that the fans are hungry. They're saying, man, go out there and do this and get this accomplished. And we believe that's what you want.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you know, Justin Moore is one of our co-hosts. He's actually going to a concert. He would be with us this morning. He did that concert for free. He's in your corner. You got John Daly in your corner. You got Joe Klein back here. So, you know, we're a station of Razorbacks. We're the Razorback station in Central Arkansas. Appreciate you understanding the value of that and taking time to jump on the show with us. And I know you got a busy day. You have any objective today other than don't say anything that's going to be repeated, you know, for the 3 months?
We don't want to make headlines on ESPN tonight.
No, you know, like
there's that fine line. It's there's
yes.
How much coach speak can you do where people don't vomit?
You know,
it's like, okay, this guy's a damn broken record. But also don't want to be on the headline and, you know, Kyle jumping down my back and say, you said what?
Summerall said he was going to throw the podium yesterday. You could just go up there and destroy it.
Yeah, maybe I just start the press conference by just throwing the podium.
There you go.
Let's get this thing started. No words. Just throw it and be like, okay, questions?
Bobby Knight chair work.
That's right. Well, Coach, we'll let you go. I know Kyle's looking. He's got to take you to the next stop. Appreciate it as always. Good luck. We'll see you here. We'll see you at the Touchdown Club.
Absolutely.
We'll see you at the Touchdown Club. So
appreciate you guys having me on. Guys back home, appreciate you guys, and look forward to many, many great conversations.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan Silverfield.